Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. My guest today is Michael Nutter. He was the mayor of Philadelphia from 2008 to 2016, and prior to that, he served for 15 years on Philadelphia's city council. In 2011, he was named to Esquire magazine's Americans of the Year list, and in 2014, Governing magazine named him a public official of the year. Mayor Nutter is now a professor at Columbia University's School of International and Public Affairs and a commentator for CNN. Mayor Nutter, welcome to the program.
Grant, thank you very much.
Now, you also served as president of the United States Conference of Mayors, and so
yes.
I wanted to start by asking you, do you think the challenges and the opportunities facing our large cities have changed in significant ways in recent years?
Cities are, in my view, the level of government that actually works, because it really has to. People depend on their local government in ways that just far outstrip on a day-to-day basis state or federal government. And state and federal government are very important. But you generally are probably not going to call your state house member if your trash doesn't get picked up. You're not usually going to reach out to your congressman if there's a fire, you know, on your street. I mean, those are all usually localized city services that people depend on. But we're also seeing the level of responsibility expanding because of climate change, world events, tragedy, terrorism. These kinds of issues are pushing mayors into the forefront of explaining to their citizens what's going on, what's happening, why it's happening. But we're also, because of dysfunction sometimes at the state or federal level, mayors increasingly are forced to take on big issues to some extent on their own. But we need our state and federal partners to really work with us. Cities are the engines of the economy, but we can't do a lot of the things by ourselves.
And thinking of that partnership, I also wanted to ask you, how do you think this election could affect the prospects for our large cities?
Well, small, medium, or large cities, the issues are mostly the same. The only real issue is how many zeros are behind the first number that you start with. But public safety, education, crime, jobs, unemployment, recidivism, returning citizens, economic development, sustainability, all of these issues are certainly city-level issues. But again, our state and federal partners have a role to play. And increasingly, the role of the federal government will become, I'm hoping, that much more dramatically engaged with what's going on the ground. People want action in Washington, D.C., and, you know, there's always that saying, think globally, but act locally. Mm-hmm. And that really is the mindset that we need for cities from the federal government down through the states where real action is taking place.
Now, it looks at this point when we're talking as if Hillary Clinton has a pretty sizable lead. You know, you never know till the election happens. But let's just go with that.
Yeah.
Do you think that a Clinton administration would be, you know, all things being equal, more friendly to cities or more engaged than we've seen in the last 8 years or the last 20? I mean, can you put any kind of predictions and comparisons on that?
Sure. I was fortunate that, from an election cycle standpoint, I came in the year before President Obama. I ran in 2007, took office in January of 2008. The president and Secretary Clinton ran in 2008, and of course, President Obama was, U.S. Senator Obama was successful, came in January of 2009. We suffered through the Great Recession pretty much together. But I would say that in recent times, President Obama's administration, I think, has set a new level and a new bar for engagement with cities and with mayors in particular. Valerie Jarrett heads up the Office of Public Engagement and Intergovernmental Affairs, and she and her team, over all of my time, the overlap of our administrations, could not have been more actively engaged and involved. And they truly recognized the value that mayors bring to a discussion and a debate. As was said by a much smarter mayor from the state of New York, the city of New York, you know, there really is no Democrat or Republican way to sweep the streets. We had Democrat and Republican mayors, strong supporters of the Community Development Block Grant program, strong supporters of making sure that our streets are safe from a public safety standpoint, strong supporters of the sustainability and environmental grants program. All of us utilized the way back, it seems like so long ago now, ARRA and the economic recovery funding. Unlike some, you know, state governors who got caught up in politics about those funds, the mayors took everything that we could get because we needed those dollars during the course of the Great Recession. So I think that based on the premise that Secretary Clinton is successful, I think she will build on the structure that President Obama and his administration have put in place and will maintain that active engagement with mayors and local leaders at an even greater level.
Now, you mentioned that different size cities, the issues are very similar. The number of zeros that come after it can be different. And I wanted to ask you a question based on a conversation that's happening here in Syracuse, which is smaller scale in Philadelphia. Sure. But nonetheless, our mayor here, Stephanie Miner, has emphasized quite heavily the importance of infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And Syracuse has had some infrastructure problems, and she's called for more attention in public spending on that. Can you comment on infrastructure and the importance of it?
Well, first, let me say something about your mayor, Mayor Stephanie Miner. She is a friend. I'm a great fan, and she is highly respected in the U.S. Conference of Mayors. She's an active participant in the various programs. When Mayor Miner speaks, people listen, and I could not be more proud of much of the work that she is doing. She is absolutely correct on infrastructure investment and improvements. First and foremost, again, those are public safety issues in many instances. Secondly, there is no faster way to put people to work than on a public works project involving bridges, roads, tunnels, water plants, and communication systems. And so, one, as a country, we are so far behind by way of investments in our infrastructure as compared to many other countries around the world. Secondly, as President Obama has tried and tried and tried, the American Jobs Program, which had a focus, has a focus on infrastructure, the Infrastructure Bank, and those kinds of investments not only, again, provide for the safety and security of people trying to get from point A to point B and maybe back to point A, but also put a lot of people to work and the supply chain down the whole path. And so there are many jobs that are a ripple effect from what we might normally think about as we're driving, you know, through the barricades, through the detours or whatever. There are a whole lot of people who had a piece of that work as we see it playing out. So she's on the right path.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Michael Nutter, former mayor of Philadelphia. There's a particular aspect about campaigns that I wanted to ask you about, and it's hopefully it's a little different topic from some of the stuff that we've been drowning in so far this election season. Yes. But it concerns political credit claiming, and this really struck me actually during the vice presidential debate with you had a current and a former governor talking about how their states fared during their tenures. But, you know, nations, states, localities, they all ride large-scale political and economic waves, recessions, cuts, expansions in federal aid, et cetera, that the individual office holders, it seems to me, they confront these things, if I want to extend this metaphor, with oars, not motorboats, you know, with these waves. And if we then reward or punish them for where they happen to be located in the wave, perhaps we've not made the right evaluation of them. So do you have any thoughts about how we could better frame our evaluations of office holders and their performance in order to make better democratic decisions about their leadership?
Well, one thing is, as much as it's used or overused, you know, the phrase, all things being equal, the reality is more times than not, things are not equal, right? So Governor Kaine, you know, Virginia, Governor Pence, Indiana, you know, relatively close to each other if you look on a map, but very different states. Their economy, their demographics, what their industry is or was, and what's going on during the time that you're in office. And I would also suggest, as I said earlier, on the one hand, for mayors and local officials, politics, big P, small p, doesn't really mean a whole lot. When you move up to the state and certainly the federal level, politics plays a big role in policy and always plays a role in personalities and all that stuff. But a Democratic governor and a Republican governor often can take very different paths, even if they're in office at the same time in close-by states, very different paths because you get more of the political philosophy of that person, mm-hmm. the General Assembly or, whatever the appropriate term may be, state to state, where you have, sometimes hundreds of other people representing, a state house district or a state representative, state senatorial district. And the politics that you have to deal with. And we saw this in the Economic Recovery Act, which was one of the reasons why the mayors pushed so hard for any future programs coming out of Washington to send that money directly to the cities. Mm-hmm. When it goes to the states, as former Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa was often heard to say, the governors often really spread those dollars out like peanut butter on a slice of bread. Everybody gets a little bit. Well, that's interesting. But, some state rep or state senator somewhere who, the governor needs his or her vote, is getting a road paved somewhere with those dollars that may have more, cows and animals on it than people going across it. But that's a political decision to get that person's support, spending those dollars when in a different environment, you would put those dollars somewhere else for better use and concentrate your resources. So, I think we have to evaluate each person in their time, under the circumstances, what were they facing, and also what else goes into that equation. Is it a Democratic governor and a Republican-controlled General Assembly or vice versa? Is unemployment on the rise? Is it going down? The demographics, the education level, all those factors. And the reality is the public, for the most part, I tell my fellow elected officials, or when I was one, we're just nowhere near as interesting as we'd like to think we are. people do not spend anywhere near as much time thinking about us as we might think. They have real lives. They have real problems. Generally, as long as we're not either raising their taxes or stealing, they don't pay that much attention to what we're doing on a day-to-day basis.
You're listening to The Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with former Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter. He's currently on the faculty at Columbia University and a commentator for CNN. I was wondering if there is one thing, maybe just two, that you felt through your leadership made the most lasting difference to the city of Philadelphia.
Always a challenge for an elected or a former elected official to answer the, what's the one thing? I usually answer there are two things, and they're really they're different sides of the same coin. The two things that I'm most proud of are that during my tenure, my 8 years, one I had considered by many, certainly by me, the best police commissioner in the United States of America, Police Commissioner Charles Ramsey. And during our time together, we came in together, we left together, we had overall a 31% reduction in homicides in the city of Philadelphia. So I'm very proud of the fact that there are some people alive today because of the work that we did together. The second is, but they're really tied together, is public education. In Philadelphia, at least, the mayor is not directly in charge of public education. It's a shared responsibility with the state. But I took the position that these are my children. I have an obligation to them and their parents and their teachers and the overall city. And you really can't have a great city if your young people are not getting a high-quality education. And so, for numerous years in a row, including right through the election of 2011, when I was up for reelection and city council was as well, we raised people's taxes to support public education. At the same time, the state was cutting funding for public education. And as you can imagine, coming off the recession, I mean, people were really upset. And I said, you know, these are our children, and we have an obligation to them. And, you know, the state's doing whatever the state is doing, and they're engaged in their politics. I'm talking about people. I'm really talking about kids. And we put over $400 million of new annually recurring funding into supporting the education of our children. It's the largest 4 or 5 year increase in the last 30 years. We've raised our high school graduation rate from 53% to about 67%. College degree attainment rates went up from 18 to 26%. So I'm very proud of those achievements. And public safety and education are really intricately tied together. The more educated your populace, my theory is you'll actually have an impact on crime. That's on the plus side. The two things that I'm most disappointed about are public safety and education. 31% drop in homicides, you know, okay. But, you know, 270 or so folks were killed in my city in 2015, in my last full year in office. And one is too many. And certainly, you know, our overall goal is zero. And, you know, the society we live in, and for a lot of reasons, that may be unrealistic, but I'm still going to drive toward that. And every day, that was our focus. That's what was on my mind. You know, they're not just numbers on a sheet of paper. These are real people. Somebody's son, somebody's daughter, somebody's dad, somebody's mom, family member. Disputes in the street about whatever they're about. I don't make any judgments about that. What I have is a deceased citizen. 67% high school graduation rate, you know, great increase. But, you know, actually I set a goal for 80. Mm. And so there are still too many young people not graduating from high school, putting themselves and their families often further behind. Poverty rate in Philadelphia is 26%. It's the highest of the top 10 cities in the United States of America. Our poverty rate has been over 20% for 30 years. So, unfortunately, it's fairly ingrained. It's intergenerational. And there's a group of people who are locked in a vice grip of underperformance beyond what their true potential could be. So, you know, I'm proud of the things we did. I wanted more. I think you just can't stop striving. Keep setting those goals, real goals, stretch goals, push yourself. And, you know, I would say just because we didn't maybe hit exactly the numbers that I wanted, that's not a failure. We had progress, and you should just never slow down.
If you just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, and my guest is former Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter. There's an aspect of your popularity rating as a mayor in Philadelphia, which is curious, at least to me, on its face. You're a Democrat,
yeah,
and you're an African-American,
yeah,
and while your popularity rating in your last year of office was above 50% for all the citizens in the city, mm-hmm, your popularity rating among African-American citizens was only around 30%.
Mm-hmm.
What do you attribute that difference to, and does it suggest anything about the nature of city politics, the particular challenges of political leadership of cities? What do you make of this?
Always a tough one to try to do that analysis. I think the African American community in Philadelphia has a right to have even higher expectations for an African American leader. That's a part of the duty and challenge that that you sign up for. You know, it's certainly a whole lot easier to govern when you have money. You know, if we didn't know before, we learned that through the Great Recession. And I had to make a lot of really tough decisions that upset a bunch of folks in neighborhoods all across the city of Philadelphia. You know, and whether it's cutbacks in services, ending some services, raising taxes, all of those kinds of things, the challenges of our schools. You know, folks don't spend a whole lot of time sorting out, you know, statutes and authorizations, et cetera, et cetera. When you're the mayor, you're in charge of everything. So if schools are underperforming, if schools are closing, ultimately that ends up on your doorstep, whether it was your decision or not. The school system in Philadelphia is a completely separate, independent body from the city government. We help to pay for it, but we're not in charge of it. So, you know, I think that overall, you should not go into public service if you're primarily focused on getting credit or being popular. I often say that if you have a deep-seated need to be loved and admired every day, this is really not the business for you. You should go run a pet shop.
We only have a couple minutes left, yeah. But there's two more questions I want to try to squeeze in if I can. The first is, you mentioned earlier your police commissioner, and, mm-hmm. and you were known for adopting more community policing during the time you were mayor. I imagine as, again, an African-American leader of a city, you've been asked a lot about the government responses and public official responses to the police shootings
sure.
of African-Americans. Do you have any relatively quick observations or advice regarding that?
Well, one of the things is I have not yet been able to figure out or discern, you know, are there more numerically or do we just know more?
Yeah.
Because of technology, because, you know, everyone can be a videographer and we're getting, you know, video and now, you know, body-worn cameras, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the answer to that question, you know, we can kind of figure that out. I think the larger issue is these incidents continue to happen. They seemingly are taking place more often, or we are learning more, or both. And it is clear that there's been a breakdown overall in the relations between communities of color and law enforcement, both of whom desperately need each other. Both of whom desperately need each other. But if they're at odds, if they're not communicating, if there is distrust on either or both sides, that's a serious problem. It's a community by community issue. I don't think it gets, quote unquote, solved nationally. But there are some things nationally that we can do in terms of criminal justice reform. That means different things to different people. But there are some, I think, some fairly fundamental things that need to change in terms of police and community relations. And we have to start talking to with each other.
Just a few seconds left, but I really have to ask this question. I read that you were a DJ before you got involved in politics.
Yes.
Do you think that that experience helped you as a politician in any important way?
Absolutely. I think, you know, for the various jobs that I've had and great education at the University of Pennsylvania, I think the job that prepared me the best for being mayor was working in a nightclub. DJing wasn't the only thing I did, but that's the only thing people remember. But what I did, I met a lot of people. I shook a lot of hands. I had to remember a lot of names. When you're a DJ, you have to read the crowd and know your crowd. And, you know, you really want to, you know, kind of end the evening, you know, with a pretty big crescendo, if you will. And what did I do as mayor? I met a lot of people. I shook a lot of hands. I had to remember a lot of names, gave a lot of speeches, and really tried to end them with a big crescendo at the end. So, you know, for me, it really did all start in a nightclub.
That was Michael Nutter. Mayor Nutter, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you, Grant.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO, Conversations in the Public Interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. The Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.